Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We've got an action-packed show for you, so looking forward to all the action. But before we get stuck into it, this is a reminder that it is Safer Gambling Week, and we're going to mention this at the top of the show. This is a week to highlight safer gambling across the industry. You can see a lot more information through the Racing Post website and, of course, at safergamblinguk.org. It's a week to look back, to look at your own habits, to think about others, reflect. And it's important with us at the Postcast as well to highlight this really important initiative. So Safer Gambling Week, do make sure to check it out this week. Lots of content available, as I mentioned there. But let's get stuck into this weekend's action. And we've got lots to look forward to on the show this week. We've got our first grade one, domestic grade one of the season at Haydock, where it's Betfair Chase Day. One of a few good races to look forward to there. Also the £100,000, the old Fixed Brush, one of the early season highlights. The top level action continues in Ireland. We've got the Unibet Morgiana Hurdle. Just four runners go to post, but surely some clues for the rest of the season. And we've also got some really good racing at Ascot to look forward to. Two grade twos among them, including the return of Ile Francais. My name is James Stevens, your host. And joining me for their top tips, we've got Robbie Wilders in the top right, James Hill in the bottom left, and as always, Unibet's Ed Nicholson. It's Haydock where we're going to start. And the big one is, of course, the 3 o'clock at Haydock, the Betfair Chase. Will we see the Harry plane, the Skellycopter again? It's grey dawning at the top of the market at 5-4. Haiti Colours, the big Welsh hope for the season at 3-1. Will he emerge as Britain's big Gold Cup hope? We'll see what the panel think about his chances. Royal Pagai, we know he loves this race at 9-2. Handstands at 11-2. And the only Irish raider in the field, Stella Story, at 11-1. Let's go first to you, Robbie. A thrilling Betfair Chase we've got up for grabs. Before we do, Rob, are we a fan of a Harry plane and the Skellycopter?
Yeah, I like it, mate. Yeah, I think anything that adds a bit of colour should be encouraged. It's a shame, really. I mean, you see it in football all the time. It's a shame you don't see it from more jocks during a big race for me.
Yep, we'll be seeing it on Saturday in the Betfair Chase.
I think so. I think Grey Dornan, of course, he got beaten in this race last season. I wonder if Skelton might have trained him slightly differently in, with this in mind. He might have just been a chase, just off it, one gallop short or something like that, maybe, I don't know. But to me, it looked like he looked all over the winner in that Betfair Chase, and then he got the last wrong and Royal Pagai came right back at him. I don't think the ground is going to be quite as bad as it was last year, which is going to help him. Certainly, it certainly won't play in Royal Pagai's strengths. And I just think the way Skelton's campaigning these horses, he's picking out the big target, and he's going to get him ready for that day. Really, we're probably not going to see Grey Dornan again until something like the Cotswolds. I think last season his sort of form tapered off in the King George after that. But I think he's going to be ready. He's a year older now, a year wiser, and he's the best horse in the race. So, yeah, I think it'll be tough to beat.
Yeah, 5-4 favourite, and Skelton have indeed trained him for this race. James, we'll bring you in. It's not the Skellycopter you want to see. It's Handstand, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, James. I mean, it's a race Grey Dornan should probably win. He's £7 clear on official ratings. But just looking back at his races last season, his jumping wasn't the best. He got beaten in this race last year and a couple of other times as well. And definitely, I thought on each occasion, his jumping was letting him down and costing him. So it just, given the prices, makes me look at Handstands. I just marginally prefer him to Haiti Colour of the two youngsters. He's won four of his five starts on soft or heavy ground, so the forecast rain will suit him. He had a nice reappearance when second at Carlisle behind Resplendent Grey. These are his conditions. He's young and progressive. I just think he's marginally better value than Haiti Colour.
Yeah, 11-2 chance. Handstands. Ben Pauling talking up his chances earlier in the week. Let's introduce Ed. And just before we go on to the Betfair Chase, we touched a little bit on Cheltenham. The Unibet Greatwood on Sunday, brilliant winner. And potentially a champion hurdle hope as well.
Yeah, 33-1 for the Unibet champion hurdle. I spoke to Joe Tizard afterwards, and he's quite lowly handicapped, relatively speaking, so he will need to have to improve a lot, and they're thinking of taking another handicap on the way. That reminds me of the Biracle Lord, who won this race and then won the Betfair hurdle, I think, in the same year, and then ran in the Unibet champion hurdle that season. So every chance this horse, Alexi, could kind of progress into graded company. I think he will, grade one company, I mean. But don't be surprised if he takes on another big handicap hurdle before then. Great meeting. Really enjoyed it. And that was a good winner. And this race itself, the Betfair Chase, what's a good race it is. What a great race it's been in the past. I don't think it's the best renewal we've ever seen. Far from it. And I can only see one winner, Grey Dawning. Goes well fresh, trained for the race. Skelton's in great form. Harry Skelton's had 16 winners from his last 47 rides at time of speaking. It's unbelievable for a jockey. And trainer Dan's had 20 from 81. I don't know whether he wasn't fit last time, Gallop Shaw. I just think he just got outstayed and that mistake didn't help. And he is the best horse in the race, as been mentioned here before. He goes well fresh, as I say. He's got good form on this ground. And that's important because Haydock normally at this time is heavy or very soft. But I spoke to Simon Tung, the manager at Haydock this morning, and Daniel Cooper put out a really good tweet saying it's good to soft at the moment, soft in places on the chase course. There's no rain there today. There's no rain tomorrow. There is rain in the early hours on Saturday morning. But according to everyone, they think it will ride good to soft, soft in places, which kind of puts the kibosh on Royal Pigalle, I think, becoming the first horse ever to win three consecutive Betfair chases. Quarto Star 1-4, Q Card 1-3, and Bristol Domain 1-3, didn't he? But no one's ever won three in the trot. But Royal Pigalle can't win if it's good to soft. He's 0-9 on good to soft, and his form has been relatively poor. The RPI rating is in the 140s of those races he ran in that he completed last year. So, yeah, I can only see one winner, and I think Grey Dawning will go off odds on.
Okay, interesting. 5-4 as it stands as we record, and Ed there with some of a ground update as we record here on Thursday afternoon. Let's move on to the 2:25 at Haydock. The Betfair Stayers Handicap Pearl, a £100,000 highlight this one, and, well, a competitive betting heat nonetheless. Mashantu, the Cheltenham winner, tops it at 9-2. Horatius Pearl for the Fergal O'Brien team at 11-2, along with Ace of Spades for the Skeltons. Hartington at 7-1. Joye Machon at 9s. Shoot First for Charles Burns at 10s, along with Jinko Blue and Navajo Indy. 12-1, Electric Mason, along with Titan Discovery and Nab Wood. Jimmy Hill, what wins the 2:25 at Haydock?
Yeah, I'm quite keen on one here, James. Jinko Blue, when I was looking at the Cheltenham racing last Saturday, I was really fancying his chances for the 3-mile handicap hurdler, the initial entry stage. But they didn't run him there in the end. They've declared here instead for this more valuable pot, which is interesting because he's on a hurdle rating of 145. I think that could be quite lenient. This horse is a good novice hurdler 2 seasons back. He won a lot of his races during his hurdling campaign and ended up running in the Turners. And over fences last season, he won both his completed starts, ended up with a rating of 151, was being aimed at the brand advisor at one stage. He's highly regarded. I think that they think he's got quite a lot of ability. Just a little bit worried at the start of the week, the ground will be a bit too soft for him. It, as Ed was mentioning, it doesn't look like it's actually going to be too bad at Haydock. And I think he's going to go really well. He could go very close indeed, actually, off his mark of 1.45.
Yeah, Brian Hughes' book for Nicky Henson. Don't often see that. And now Ed, we obviously know the Unibet link with Nicky Henson. Don't give too much away because we've got some Nicky Henson content to come later in the show. But Jimmy alludes to there that they think quite a lot of this horse. Would he be your selection?
No, it won't be my selection. Carries top weight. And obviously, when Brian Hughes does ride for Nicky Henderson, it is really worth taking that on board. Obviously, at Cheltenham at the festival not long ago. And he also rides a lot of his horses that go up north. So, obviously, with Nico being at Ascot, it makes sense that Brian rides his horse. I think it's a really difficult race, without a doubt. Lots of potential winners. I'm going to go for a horse that's got forming good, soft and softer. Who I think is going to improve for a step up in trip from a stable who's in cracking form, and that's Hartington. He's not the best of jumpers over hurdles, but this is the furthest he would have ever gone as well. But he is relatively raced. He looks like he'll appreciate the step up in trip. It is a big step up in trip, but I think with Tizard on a 32% success rate at the moment, 11 winners in the last 14 days, I think is worth taking a chance. And that extra special sparkle on top, the kind of the cream at the top, is that Sean Bowen is riding. And have you ever seen a jockey riding better at any time in the season? Some of the rides he's been putting in lately have just been unbelievable. So yeah, there's no other jockey I'd rather have on a horse at the moment on flat or jumps than Sean Bowen. And I think this Joe Tizard lightly raced 6-year-old with 10 stone 5 on his back has got a big race like this in him. If slight worry is jumping, slight worry is the big step up in trip, but I think it'll suit him, only £4 higher than when he won at Cheltenham. So yeah, quite keen on Hartington, I must admit.
Yeah, and I should say at the Joe Tizard stable to which I did, they were quite keen on this horse as a potential improver, and they had no worries about going up in trip. I think the only concern they had that he wouldn't quite get into the race, but he have, and they've got Sean Byrne aboard, which is a huge positive. Robbie, what's your selection here?
Yeah, I've had a few bets in this actually, James. For Ace of Spades, he's got sort of halved in price over. I backed him a few weeks ago. I thought he's interesting. He's been aimed at the race for the Skeletons. It's just is the ground going to be a bit too soft? That's my big concern there. But he was a good winner at Aintree last time, and there should be a lot more to come. Navajo Indy as well. I think he's got a big pot in him for sure. He's definitely going to improve for 3 miles. I think he was a big eye catcher in the Betfair Hurdle last season. But my main selection is going to be Harachi's Pearl. Not Harachi. It's got to be Horace, isn't it? Surely should be an apostrophe if we're moaning. But this horse is interesting. I backed him for Grade 1 Mersey Novices Hurdle Aintree last time after he was a really impressive novice hurdle winner over a horse called Ludor, who won by about 27 lengths last week. He's now rated 137. Horace's Pearl's rated 135. He didn't run too well at Aintree, but he did look like he was going to improve for a longer trip. And then he ran only 18 days later at Perth, ran okay. But I think this horse needs to be fresh. You need to get him off break. His record off long breaks is formidable. Just the way he beat this Ludor and Newbury on soft ground really catches my eye. And, you know, he's a top-class bumper for one at Grade 2 at Aintree. Fergo Ryan's booked Tom Broughton, £5 claim. He's got a really good record when riding for O'Brien, £33 level stake to profit, something like that. So, yeah, I'm very interested in him each way, James.
Yeah, the horse who famously broke Paddy Brennan's heart in that Aintree bumper. Paddy went clear and beaten by a stalemate on what might have been his farewell in the Grade 2 bumper at Aintree. He is Robbie Wilder's fancy, should also say. Ed, this is an extra place race. Let's move on to the rest of Haydock. We've got three more races live on ITV. That's the 1:15 at Haydock, the Betfair Racing Podcast Handicap Hurdle, the 1:50, the Betfair Exchange Graduation Chase, where the jukebox man, Harry Redknapp's star horse, looks to get his season underway, having won a Grade 1 novice last season, could be a Gold Cup contender this season, and the 3:35, the best odds on the Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase. This race, usually a good guide to the Welsh Grand National, albeit, as we've touched on, might not have typical Haydock Betfair Chase ground. Jimmy, we'll start with you. What catches your eye in those other races?
In the last race at Haydock, the 3:35, I'm quite keen on the chances of Major Fortune. 7-year-olds, they've got a good record in this. They've won 3 of the last 4 runnings. And I think he's the 7-year-old who catches my eye. He made quite a nice reappearance at Cheltenham last month. He finished fourth in a strongly run 2.5 mile novice handicap there. He was off the pace for a while, but he came into contention quite nicely. Just got a bit tired on his first run back late on up the hill. He's returning here to his optimum conditions, 3 miles and soft ground. He's got a good record when the ground's soft. And he looks to be on quite a nice mark. I think he's always been held in quite high regard at the Skelton Yard. So I'm hoping he can prove his ability here. So Major Fortune in the last Haydock.
Major Fortune in the 3:35. Robbie, what's caught your eye?
Couple, James, are really keen on Andershan in the 1:15, the 2 mile free handicap hurdle. We've got a fairly short price favourite, Capital de Matan, for the Skeltons, debuting for the yard. He was second in the Scottish champion hurdle for Paul Nicholls last season. He's come off a wind up. Don't know how ready he's going to be for this. Just think Andershan, he's had a run and it was a really good, encouraging run at Newbury last time. Just looked like he needed a much longer trip. It was over the bare 2 miles. He hit the line really hard. whereas the first two had first run on him. The time of the race was good. He's up another 3 furlongs. And you just go through his novice form last season, it's working out really well. He won a maiden hurdle at Kempton by 18 lengths. Horses in behind that day have won 17 races between them since. And he was probably flying a bit too high in the Dovecot after that in grade two at Kempton. But he's only 125. I think he's well handicapped. And the other one in the last race, the 3:35, Shomanucci for Sam Thomas, who is obviously a very, very good trainer. And he's always shown a lot of ability, this horse. He's a half brother to the yard Katate Dori. I think he's going to step forward in a big way again for another half mile. He was a good winner at Carlisle with a novice chase on his only start over fences. But there's a lot of talent there, I think. And off 135 in a race where there's not really too many interesting horses sort of unexposed, I think he's the one to beat in that.
Yeah, he's got loads of potential, this horse. It's just whether he can quite bring it in the 3:35 and the other one there, Roy mentions Andashan in the 1:15 at Haydock. Ed, we'll just bring you in because the one race we haven't discussed yet is the 1:50, the Jukebox Man. I mean, he's a fascinating horse, isn't he? Because you go back to that form at Kempton, you're thinking, blimey, this could be a serious Gold Cup player given how the novice chase season transpired. Is he going to make a winning start on Saturday?
I'm not too sure. I think he's the most talented horse in the race, although Iroko fans would disagree given that he's rated higher. But I think this race is there for an upset because I think a couple of these horses will just, they'll be there to try their best, but they won't be 100% fit. They'll have long-term campaigns in mind. I think the Jukebox Man is also coming back from injury. 2 mile 5.5 might not be his best trip. So I'd be taking Jukebox Man on at 4-5. I mean, he's the most talented horse in the race. And as one of the star chasers from last year, novices, you'd expect him to improve. Iroko kind of had loads of opportunities last year, especially at the beginning of the year, and didn't win. And again, he was a horse that's probably been looked after for the bigger kind of spring races in mind, and they both make their debuts. There's a horse here who will be running for the first time in 742 days, but Nappers Hill is a horse that goes very well fresh. I think he had 3 wins and a second following over 100 days off. Famously, he's won 3 times at the jump season opener at Chepstow back in October. So he is a horse that comes to hand. He was entered in the Silver Trophy but was taken out, so no doubt he's ready. And this, I think, represents a really good opportunity for him, only because I think the other horses at the top end of the market might not be 100% ready to go. Nappers Hill might not be because he's been off for a long time, but at 10-1, I think he's worth a chance. Freddie Gingle takes the ride, and I've been fascinated with the Star Conditionals rise this year because he hasn't had many. He's since September, he's had 20 rides, of which he's won 7. Last year, when he won the Conditional Jockeys Championship in the same period, he'd had 61 rides and he'd won 12. So it's quite interesting that he hasn't had that many rides. Perhaps he hasn't got the opportunities like he had last year. And it does seem it's only Paul Nicholls and Joe Tizard that are giving him rides. But he's a very good jockey. And if you backed every single one of his horses this year during that period, you'd be 20 quid up on a level stakes. And his A over I is A over E, which is his actual over expected, is like 1.86. So he is riding extremely well, hasn't had that many opportunities. And I just think Nappers Hill at 10-1, given the conditions of this race, is worth a speculative selection. We're going super boost on this race as well. So every horse will be the next price up from the show. But yeah, the Jukebox Man and Iroko are both very good horses. But Nappers Hill isn't far behind them on ratings. And was going to go for the John Frankham chase last year until got injured 2 years ago. Sorry. So I think they think a lot of him. I hope he comes back because he's a really good horse.
Okay, let's move on to part two of the show. We are heading south and going to Ascot, where we have got an absolute belter in the 1:30 at Ascot. This is a Ladbrokes 1965 chase, a Grade Two, but well, it could be a Grade One. This because it is really top quality. With the return of Ile Francais, and he's your favourite at 7-4. Of course, joined Tom George from his son Noel. Will he have climatized well to the Cotswolds? Who knows? 7-4 favourite he is. Pick Doherty twice a winner of the Ascot Chase at 11-4. Django Bay, the Arkle winner at 7-2. Gidley Park, 4-1 on his comeback. And Master Chewy completes the five at 12-1. Robbie, it is an absolute belter, this race, isn't it?
Yeah, wonderful race, James. You've got two established stars in Ile-de-France and Pit Dory, and then you've got two sort of up-and-comers in Django Bay and Gidley Park. I don't like Ile-de-France at all here, to be honest. He's quite a short price. I think he's yet to put up a top-class performance away from Kempton. He's quite in and out. I mean, Kempton will be the day again for him, surely. I can't really have him. He's moved to Tom George as well. Is that a slight negative from Noel, the sort of younger, fresh? I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since George had a proper... I know he had Ile-de-France for a bit when he was really young, but since he had a proper top-class horse. Pick Dory, he obviously loves Ascot. I think he's best fresh, though. I think he had a hard race in the Charlie Hall a few weeks ago. I don't like him. I'm torn between the two second-season chasers. Django Bay's an obvious one after he won the Arc, looking like he needed... if anything, might have needed 3 miles, to be honest. But Gidley Park just keeps, he's winking at me for Harry Fry. Really good horse on his day. He needs to be fresh, I think. He's obviously had his issues, but I mean, that defeat of Caldwell Potter obviously works out exceptionally well. And then he had the edge over Django Bay at Aintree. I think there's a lot more to come from him. He's only had 2 actual runs over fences, really, because obviously his chasing debut, he pulled over in regular heartbeat. But if he's right in it, the vibe seemed positive. I think he's got a better chance than they'll suggest. Gidley Park.
Yeah, I really like Gidley Park as well, Robbie. So fingers crossed he'll run well. And I get your point regarding the stable move. It certainly suggests, I mean, he's been far from straightforward, Ile-de-France. I think it suggests that perhaps we want to try something different with him after that cracking run in the King George last year. Ed, what's your verdict on the 1965?
Well, named after the first jumps race at at Ascot, and we've seen some plenty good races since then, haven't we? Fantastic performances. In this race, Pick Dorney has won the last two, making all on both occasions. In fact, 3 of his wins at Ascot have been when he's made all. He won't get it all his own way on Saturday, I don't think. Obviously, Ile-de-France's best when he leads. Doesn't have to, but he is best, I think, when he leads. And that would seemingly set up the race for Django Bay, who anyone who has any memory still left in their brains at my sort of age will know that he came from a hopeless position to win the Arkle over 2 miles. And so a fast run at 2.5 will be fine. A slight worry. I have 2 slights worry about him. One is that they're starting over 2.5, having said, well, it was quoted in your Racing Post saying he'll start the season over 3. So it's interesting they're starting over 2.5. Nicky's horses... A week ago, he said to us and others on various TV programmes that his horses were kind of 2 weeks behind a lot of the other trainers. So he's had another week and the horses have started to win. But I just worry again that the racing over 2.5, there's a long season to go. He'll definitely come on for the run. So I'm gonna go for the complete outsider. I think Mr. Chewy has got a chance. I went through... Gidley Park's form, but it's Harry Fry stable, but they're not in form, are they? I don't think. That put me off Gidley Park. I like going for trainers in form. Nigel and Willie Twist and David, their horses are okay, not in form. And Master Chewy's had a run. He has good class form to his name. Ran well in the Arkle actually 2 years ago when he would have probably finished third. And then ran in front of Ile-de-France in the Ryanair. I just got a feeling this race might be also run to suit him because he can take a bit of a pull. And if it's a fast run race over 2.5 miles, he might just get the run of the race. I don't think the others will be looking at him as a potential winner. I just think it's a big price at 12-1. So yeah, I'm going for Mr. Chewy with that advantage of a run. And the excellent Sam Twist and Davis on board.
Okay, Master Chewy at 12-1 for Ed. Finish us off, Jimmy. What's your verdict?
Yeah, fascinating race. And interesting to see Django by running. I didn't think he'd go here. I thought he'd end up at Haydock, but he's running here. And the race could set up for him. I mean, he's a lot of pace up front. They're going to be taking each other on. Although, as Ed said, he'll probably come on for the run here. It's a close call. I hear what Rob's saying about Le France. So he is inconsistent. He can run the odd stinker, definitely. But the fact is, he's besting at the weights here. Pick Doherty did have a hard race in the Charlie Hall over 3 miles. That will have stretched him a bit. And Le France, I just think fresh, exuberant, the way he jumps, he's a fantastic jumper. I think if he puts in a performance, he'll be difficult to beat. So he would be my selection, but it is an interesting race. Going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, loads of pointers for the future. And interesting about Django Bay, I completely agree with you. I did wonder whether perhaps this might be potentially the other race might have suited him better. But we'll see. What do we know anyway? We'll find out. It's two more races to look at from Ascot. We've got another grade two. This is the Ladbrokes Ascot hurdle where Woodhoo begins her season, potentially going to end up in the Mayor's Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival, and the 3:15, the Costello Banfi Hurst Park Handicap Chase, one of the big handicap prizes of the weekend. Let's go straight back to you, Jimmy. Anything caught your eye in those two races?
Yeah, and the 2 mile handicap chase at Hurst Park, James. Brookie is the one who catches my eye here. He had good form as a novice last season. He won a hot handicap at Doncaster in March and then finished second in the Grade 1 at Aintree, actually finishing a place in front of Loda Sudler. Started the season back at Cheltenham last month, where they went a really strong gallop. I think he was probably slightly taken off his feet there, ran an undulating track. Still ran well. I mean, he made up quite a bit of ground, but just didn't quite get to the winner, Calico, finishing third in the end. I think this will suit him a lot better. I think right-handed will suit him better, and I think the kind of more stiffer, kind of straighter nature of Ascot will be better suited to him than Cheltenham. Hold-up horse jumps well. I think a strong pace here will be ideal. And I think he's terrific value. I think he's around 12 to 1 at the moment. I think that's a great each-way play. So I'll certainly be having a couple of quid on him.
Okay, Brookie for the inform Anthony Honeyball Yard. Easy for me to say. Robbie, what's your verdict on these two? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, I think the 2:40, the Ascot Hurdle, is one of the races of the day for sure. It's an absolute cracker. Looking at this race at the start of the week, Wadu's favourite. I didn't had a sneaky thing. She wouldn't run and wait for the hat and grace. She's running here, and I'm a little bit scared of her, of course, because she is the best horse in the race. But I've still had two bets against her anti-post, Celtic Dino and Outer Belly. Outer Belly just loves Ascot, simple as that. He was a really good winner of two good handicaps here last season, and all his form's going right-handed. His sort of wheels came off Aintree in the spring over 3 miles, but back down in trip, his favourite hunting ground. I could see him going well. And Celtic Dino as well. I mean, we just know how well his form's working out of Alexi. He's a half-brother to St. Seagull, who's a 2.5-miler. He's going to get his grounds. He's not a horse we're going to see all through the depths of winter because he needs a decent surface. And he's just got that fitness edge over Wadoo. So I'm not giving up just yet, but I was a bit scared that the mayor was declared.
Yeah, I suppose it's interesting. We'll talk about the Morgiana Hurdle where Lossy Mouth will run. I did wonder whether they might have a second think because obviously Lossy Mouth probably won't run.
I thought that as well, to be fair. They wouldn't have been expecting that, you wouldn't have thought.
No, it's the jump season's back, Robbie. Willie Mullins is surprising us all, isn't it? That's what it's all about. What about you, Ed? Two races?
Yeah, no, I really fancy Woodoo in the Ascot Hurdle. I think she's a class above 10 stone 7, sorry. 11 to 8 was 7 to 2 earlier on in the week, which was, as you say, if you knew that she was going, that was a hell of a bet. Some of the other horses in the race probably be better on, well, Celtic Dino certainly would probably be better on a faster surface. And she remarkably was Gordon Elliott's only Cheltenham Festival winner, wasn't she? Famously winning the final race there of the week. And she progressed to run well at Aintree. Although that was the first time she was beaten, arguably that was her best performance. And she's still improving, I think. I think this race is here to take. Gordon Elliott's not had a runner at Ascot in this meeting before. He normally runs horses in the December meeting. In fact, he's had almost as many winners on the flat in conditions and graded winners as he has over hurdles at Ascot. He won with commissioned and Palisador in the Royal Alexandra. All his winners previously over hurdles have been in that December meeting. So it's a rare well, he's never had a runner at November meeting at Ascot. So it's interesting that he decided to come here. And it was the obvious choice. I mean, she would be taking on graded one horses from Willie Mullins in the Hatton's Grace, wouldn't she? And this is a nice pot, which is there for the taking. So, yeah, although relatively short now at 11 to 8, I had thought that remarkably she might go off odds on, but she's drifted a little bit. I think we'll win this before going on to better things. Maybe even the Champion Hurdle. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll wait and see those conundrums all to come. But really good card at Ascot. Look forward to that. We all come on from the action from Ireland and a little look ahead of next week's Fighting Fifth Showdown after this short break. Okay, so we've got one more race we'll be looking at. But before we do, it was a big day ahead of the Fighting Fifth next weekend because it was the Newbury Gallops Day, often a sign. We find out about the Coral Gold Cup, who's going to run there, who's going to perform, what's the big handicap looking like. But of course, all the talk was about Constitution Hill. We've heard so much about him already this season. He had a gallop. It finally went well. We've seen some bad ones in the past, but all went smooth with Constitution Hill, setting up that absolutely mouth-watering clash with the new line at Newcastle next week. We'll be, of course, previewing it on the podcast, so do make sure to join us. But Ed, you were down there at the gallop with Nicky Henson. We're going to play a short clip, but just give us a vibe. Constitution Hill, Ed, is he back?
Well, the market would suggest there's confidence behind him. Earlier 10-1 for the Unibet Champion Hill, now 5-1. And he did what he should do, really. I mean, there's nothing he did spectacular at Newbury, but he did it well. We've been there all too many times, haven't we, James, where he's gone and he should have done what he did at the beginning of the week a couple of times. And so I think everybody was just relieved that he came through and he came through well. But it was interesting to hear the thoughts of the connections after the gallop.
That was great. Everybody's happy, all smiley faces. Nico was happy, the horse was happy, so if they're both happy, I'm happy.
And it seems almost as if this year you've not changed his training regime, but you're doing a lot of different things with him, and I know you've taken away on quite a few occasions. Are you quite mindful of doing that this year to make sure there is no stone left unturned?
Well, then it's that, I mean, yeah, he went to Worcester and then he came here. He'd always been here. He did go to Worcester 3 weeks ago. And it was just because it finished up on such a bad note at Punchestown last year when he actually said, please, I don't want to do this again. I've just had two horrible falls and I can't. And he's got enough sense to do that. And so the first thing, which was pretty obvious, you've got to just get him back into the frame of mind where he's enjoying going to the races. He didn't enjoy going to Punchestown. Simple as that. Who would do after what had happened? And yeah, it's been nice because it has, you know, he's in good form, he's finding his work very easy, so he's consequently enjoying it, and that's what the battle plan's been all along. The job in hand in front of him is going to be mighty tricky, I think, you know, and we're probably not as forward as we would like to be with all the horses, though he has done quite a lot. There was one moment about 3 weeks ago, I thought I was nearly too far ahead, but I don't think that's the issue at the moment, I must admit. But, you know, you've got Dan's horse, who's, you know, the new lion. I mean, he's going to take a lot of beating, there's no doubt about it. And there will be others. And it will be our first run of the year. I don't know, it's his, but, you know, you can see why their horses are visibly a couple of weeks ahead of us. We'll have to try and I think Constitution has done as much as he could possibly do without having a race, probably.
Yeah, so much to look forward to next week. Do make sure to join us on the podcast. Coral Gold Cup going to be previewed as well as that absolute feast at Newcastle. So much to look forward to. And we're still not done. We've got another top grade contest to look forward to. This is the 2:10 at Punchestown Live on ITV, the Unibet Morgiana Hurdle, where Lossie Mouth begins her season. Will it be Champion Hurdle? Will it be Mare's Hurdle? Who knows? But she's got a decent enough test on Saturday. Just three rivals taking her on. Iransi, the impressive winner at Punchestown. He's 3-1 second favourite. Nadawi, the Galway hurdle winner, 8-1. And Glenn Kiln at 16-1. We've got a 2-5 favourite in Lossie Mouth. Robbie, does she win?
Yeah, it's a weird one because at the start of the week, you're thinking there's no way she'll run because Ansdam was odds on favourite. Mullin suggested that when State Man was out for the season, that Ansdam would run here. But is he going for the Fighting Fifth? Has he had a setback? I actually don't know either way. But you wouldn't want to see Lossy Mouth in there if you like Taranci, who I do quite like as a horse going forward on him for the Champion Hurdle at 33-1. I'm a bit scared now. I'm going to keep the faith just about because I really like what I saw from him last season when he was a wide margin winner over Salvatore Mundi and an out of sorts Copet the board. Just think he's a very interesting horse going forward. But the Lossy Mouth presence, obviously, kind of, you've got to balance that. Does that suggest that now she's the number one at close sight and they're finally going to give up on the whole Mayor's Hurdle thing? It could well be. It'll be a watching race for me. I'll be hoping that Taranci runs well. It's as simple as that, really. But yeah, I mean, Lossy Mouth probably should win, really, shouldn't she, in what she's done?
Yeah, she should. And as you say, we're not quite sure what's happened to us and Dan. But Racing Post journalists, as we record on Thursday afternoon, are trying to find out what that situation is. So stay put for all of that. I'm sure you'll have more details on the website. What's your verdict, Jimmy? Is it as straightforward as Lossy Mouth just wins, or do you want to take her on?
No, I won't be taking her on. It is interesting, though. I mean, she's only on the ratings, official ratings, £2 higher than Taranci. I mean, obviously, she gets some mayor's allowance as well. I mean, Taranci, as Rob mentioned, I mean, he was impressive when he beat Salvatore Monday at Punchdown last season. It's always difficult to see what you make of those end-of-season Punchdown grade ones. I mean, Salvatore Monday, very good horse. He had gone to both Cheltenham and Aintree, so was he at his best when Taranci beat him that day? But Aranci's a good horse. Lossy Mouth, we know her ability. She probably is better over 2.5 miles than she is over 2. But I would think if they do have Champion Hurdle aspirations for her this season, she's probably going to have to win this. So I'll be surprised if she is beaten, but wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis. Ed, great to have Unibet sponsoring a grade one race in Ireland. Just four runners, but at least we've got a top class one at the top of the market.
Yeah, always a race that just has a few runners, it must be said, but they're always quality performers. And quite often, Willie Mullins does run a short price favourite. Sometimes they win, but sometimes they lose. Fahim lost his race at Biggers Odds On to a stablemate. And we just don't know where they are in terms of their fitness, do we? But Brighter Days Ahead caused a bit of a, well, not a shock, because she's well back, but wasn't expected to win last time. Estate Man's obviously won this for the two previous years for Willie Mullins. Willie's won it 13 times, and you'd expect Lossy Mouth to win. There's been a little bit of opposition in the early skirmishes in the last 2 or 3 hours since the final declared runners came through. I think it's too difficult a race to have a bet on themselves. I know there are only four runners, but we just don't know how fit they are. I think we should just watch and see how it goes. You can be rest assured that every single one of these horses will have a better performance in them throughout the rest of the year. So it's just a case of which one is the fittest. Taranci does look to be a progressive individual. Lossy Mouth's already won a Unibet hurdle. Let's see if she can win a Unibet Morgiana before going on to win the Unibet Champion hurdle. She's 7-2, second favourite at the moment for the Unibet Champion Hurdle. And everybody that wished she went last year, because surely if she stood up, she would have won, given the way the race was run. But obviously things change, so you can't really say that. But everyone was hoping she'd run in the race last year. She might run in it this year, but this is a kind of an indication that maybe connections are thinking that way, as Robbie said. So I think it's a waiting game. Watch this race, enjoy it, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we've got the John Durkin to look forward to on Sunday as well. Loads of top quality horses. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. But we are going to move swiftly on to that Pyma show where we pick our best bets of the weekend and of the ITV action. And Robbie, you can kick us off. What's taken the wilder's eye?
Thank you very much, my friend. Yeah, Andersham for me in the 115 at Haydock. I think he's very well handicapped.
Okay, I'm gonna put myself next, Robbie. I'm going to go next. And I'm going to go for JPR when we touched on the Tizard's form. I think this horse is going to be completely different this time from the Howden Gold Cup. He's got the cheek pieces on. They said they're going to ride him differently. I think he's going to be aggressively towards the front. He's a good price in the Hurst Park at Ascot. I think the track will suit him well. I think he'll improve for the new way he's going to be ridden. And I think he's a hell of a price, given we already know how good he is. What's your selection, Jimmy?
That'll be Jinko Blue, James, in the 225 at Haydock in the big staying handicap hurdle. I'm hoping he's going to be a class apart.
Yeah, in the big one there, 225 Haydock, Jinko Blue and Ed.
Yeah, I'm going for Wadu in the Ascot hurdle. I think she's a class above these and will go on to progress again.
And who knows what she will end up doing. So much to look forward to in the jump season. Thank you very much to our panellists. That's Robbie Wilders, James Hill and Ed Nicholson from Unibet. And thanks for you for watching along. If you're a fan of a show, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe. Don't miss any of our top class Racing Post content, including next week, which I've touched on, a real bumper show for you. The Coral Gold Cup, the Fighting Fifth Showdown, so much more to look forward to next weekend. So do join us at 7 p.m. on Spotify and YouTube. Before we sign off, just another reminder, it is Safer Gambling Week. Lots of content available, well worth visiting the Safer Gambling website and just checking out some of the resources. Even if it's not for you, it's just good to learn for your peers as well. And if you can help out each other, it all makes the world a better place. But for now, enjoy this weekend's racing, wherever you're watching. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.